The Nutcracker, if you're in the audience, is charming, magical, and entrancing. The Nutcracker, if you're a dancer, can be stressful, vexing, and repetitive, as well as magical. In a rehearsal room at Lincoln Center, Pauline Goulben of the New York City Ballet rehearses her solo as Arabian Coffee in the Land of Sweets that opens Act Two. Her shiny pink rehearsal slippers scuff over the floor as a pianist sends her through her paces. The Nutcracker that the music of Peter Tchaikovsky made so popular premiered in 1892. Among the young people who performed the ballet at St. Petersburg's Mariinsky Theater was George Balanchine, who was a candy cane. Mr. Balanchine became perhaps the preeminent choreographer in history. 50 years ago, he was casting around for a piece for his newly founded New York Ballet Company to put on during what was then regarded as a slow season around Christmas. Balanchine remembered the Nutcracker he'd performed as a boy and decided to create his own. He'd hoped for a strong 2-week run. What he created has become an annual tradition and theatrical history. The Nutcracker is what amounts to a 2-hour dream. A little girl receives a Nutcracker painted as a toy soldier for Christmas. She falls asleep and dreams that he comes to life and leads the way to an animated land of sweets. The Nutcracker is the only ballet that many people will ever see. It is the one ballet that every professional dancer knows that he or she, whatever else they do, will probably have to appear in every year.
I hear the music in a store, and I'm just like, oh, God, you know?
Wendy Whalen has been in Nutcracker since she was 8 years old in Louisville. She's been the Sugar Plum Fairy at the New York City Ballet for 10 years.
And I did one of my first productions this year was in Thanksgiving time, which is very early to do a Nutcracker. And I had to remind myself where to tap into to find why I love it or what it is that I can love about it. And mostly that was with the children on the stage. And I also reminded myself not to take it too seriously. It's not about perfection. It's about giving with the people on stage. And a lot of times we're dancing for people who've never seen ballet.
The Nutcracker was a triumph of the art of commerce as much as theater. George Balanchine was careful to create a ballet that would be seen by whole families, but also dance turns that could tickle each family member individually. The children could be charmed by the candy canes and mice. Mothers could gush over the sugar plum fairy, and fathers could gape at the suggestive gymnastics in the Arabian coffee dance. The Nutcracker eventually delivered the New York City Ballet 45 nights of sold-out houses, which enabled the young ballet company to continue.
If we hadn't done the Nutcracker, we wouldn't have survived.
Maria Tallchief appeared in Balanchine's first Nutcracker in 1945. She's still considered perhaps the preeminent American ballerina of all time. She was also one of George Balanchine's four wives. They were divorced by the time the Nutcracker premiered, but Maria Tallchief was still his choice for an even more demanding role. You were the first Sugar Plum Fairy.
Yes.
What did you think when Mr. Balanchine first laid out the ballet for you?
He was a poet. He was a magician. And I realized that how he did it rhythmically with the meter of the music. You know, he went a sort of between the music. It's so beautifully done. And all the steps that I had been learning from him for all those years, but right into that Sugar Plum variation.
Wendy Whalen, the current Sugar Plum Fairy, says she often hears a change of tone among children in the audience when she arrives, after they've seen all the soldiers, clowns, snowflakes, candy canes, and mice.
They always start to cry around the Sugar Plum Fairy's part. They get a little tired. The fun stuff is over now. It's a real ballet.
Oh, right.
So it's,
yeah.
And the music gets a little soft. And wow! You know?
Maria Tallchief says the sumptuous music makes it easy for the audience to overlook the physical demands of the part, especially the fairy's duet with her cavalier.
It was one of the most difficult pas de deux I've ever done. If you see people turning, like ice skaters turning, I would start by myself. He would have to catch me by the wrist as I was turning and going into arabesque. And then the jump onto the shoulder was very precarious.
For some dancers in the Nutcracker, the ballet is also an annual test of devotion to their art.
I do the candy cane in the second act, and that's all I do now. For the last 6 years, that's all I've done.
Tom Gold appeared in his first Nutcracker at the age of 11 in Chicago. He's been with the New York City Ballet since 1987. He's also danced the role of a soldier, but has become a kind of semi-official candy cane for all New York. He appears as a candy cane in the Thanksgiving Day Parade, to light the Lincoln Center Christmas tree, and to ring the bell to open trading on the New York Stock Exchange. People have seen Tom Gold on the subway and asked, "Candy cane?"
And I've constantly asked every day, "Aren't you sick of the Nutcracker yet?" And I always say no, because it always makes everyone extremely happy. The audience just has a marvelous reaction. Children sing it for the first time, gasp in awe at the tree and the flowers and the mice, so it keeps it very much alive for me always.
So you don't dread this time of year?
No, I don't. I actually sort of relish it. The best part is seeing all these kids from the school who come over and perform with us, you know. It's sort of like some 45-year-old has taken over these little 8-year-olds' bodies and voices, and the things that come out of their mouths are so amusing and hysterical, and they just start ordering the adult dancers around if you're in their way, or, you know, they want their props a certain way, or their costume has to look a certain way, but at the same time, they're still a child, so it's so...
You can't hit them.
You can't live with them, can't punish them, you know, what are you going to do? And just watching them every year, you know, I've been here for a number of years now, and they start out little, and then they come back, and they're towering over, and you're like, oh my God. And I would say maybe 1% of them will go on to ever really be a professional dancer, yeah. But you just know that they're going to remember this and carry it with them, and you just hope for the best.
There are more than 100 children in the two Nutcracker companies the ballet keeps to perform each year. A half hour before showtime, the children's dressing room swells with the scent of hairspray, powder, and salami sandwiches, and the sounds of youngsters squealing and breathing deeply. Garielle Whittle is the children's ballet mistress of the New York City Ballet. She was a dancer here herself and has been a part of 35 of the 50 Nutcrackers the company has mounted. She calls her dancers children, but not amateurs. To be cast in the Nutcracker, they've passed 2 levels at the ballet's own school.
The first level is very, very strict. They stand behind the bar for about an hour. And it's very dry and it's very hard, and they get very disciplined. So by the time I get them in second division, they're amazing. They can focus, they can concentrate. They're not like normal 8 and 9 year olds. It's like they've been to a little bit of military school.
Isabel DeVivo plays the featured role of Maria this year, which is known as Clara in some other companies. She and her mother take the train in each afternoon from Great Neck, Long Island. Isabel DeVivo has been dancing since she was 5 years old, not because anyone induced or forced her, she says, but because she finds a form of expression in the step and stretch of dance.
It's a way of talking, yeah. Except with your body, uh-huh. And I think it's absolutely an amazing way because it's physical, and it also relaxes you, and sometimes when you're nervous, I just decide, hey, I'll do a dance, and that's what always makes me feel good, always.
Isabel DeVivo claims to be 9 years old. Her character is on stage for nearly the entire 2-hour ballet.
Well, for the first hour, I perform and I'm actually dancing a lot. For the second, I watch the wonderful dances, mm-hmm. And I get to see these principal dancers do amazing steps. For example, the sugar plum, when she glides,
yeah.
It looks hard, but I see the little secret. And
I think you're supposed to hold on to that secret, right? You
yes,
can't tell us.
Okay, but I all think right. They told it in the New York Times. But still, it's always amazing just to watch every performer light up the stage.
Balanchine's Nutcracker premiered 50 years ago. Critical reaction was mixed. The ballet was considered beautiful, but an onstage spectacle. An enormous Christmas tree springing up from a dream, a seven-headed mouse king battling toy soldiers led by a bunny drummer, and children dozing in the soft white fall of a blizzard. Was it stagecraft, schmaltz, or true artistry? Maria Tallchief says the first audience reached their own conclusion.
There were many pitfalls, but what was wonderful, after the first act, I peeked out behind the curtain. There were all these children dancing up down the aisle. They were inspired by the Nutcracker. It was wonderful.
Ms. Tallchief will turn 80 years old in just a few days. She's candid in saying that her body, which was once the image of the freedom of dance, is now bedridden with arthritis. But America's first sugar plum fairy warms to recall this role above all others.
my goodness, I was like the queen. I was the queen of Candyland. I'm sitting here, lying here on my bed pain, smiling. You're making me smile.
The New York City Ballet's 50th anniversary production of George Balanchine's The Nutcracker will run through January 2, 2005, but will reappear in November 2005, and 2006, and 2007, and maybe 100 years thereafter. You can hear our entire interview with Maria Tallchief on our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.